Bobby, no wonder, no.
This is Bobby. Bobby is a 2-year-old collie that belonged to a couple named Frank and Elizabeth Brazier in Silverton, Oregon. In August of 1923, about 100 years ago, the Braziers decided to pack up the car and go east to visit some relatives in Walcott, Indiana. They took along their 2 daughters, Leona and Nova, and they also took along Bobby. While the Braziers were in Indiana, Bobby was attacked by 3 other dogs, and he got frightened and ran away. The Braziers looked all over for Bobby, but they were never able to locate him. They finally just gave up, and heartbroken, they returned to their home in Oregon without him. 6 months later, in February 1924, Bobby showed up back home in Silverton, Oregon. He was mangy, dirty, and scrawny, and his toenails were worn down to nothing. He apparently had walked all the way from Indiana back to Oregon, across rivers, plains, deserts, and mountains. He had apparently crossed the Rocky Mountains and the Continental Divide during the coldest part of the winter. It is estimated that during his 6-month journey, Bobby walked at least 2,551 miles, covering an average of 14 miles per day on foot. When Bobby left Indiana, I'm sure he didn't know how far he would have to travel. He didn't know how long it would take, and he didn't know what obstacles and difficulties he would encounter along the way. His final destination, his home, was thousands of miles away. He couldn't see it, but he knew it was there. He had nothing to guide him except some unexplainable instinct, some inner voice that told him the way to go. And he had nothing to keep him going except the determination and perseverance that came from knowing that there was someone who loved him waiting at the end of the road. Bobby was just a dog, but I think that he can teach us a few things about walking by faith and not by sight. Yep. He can teach us a few things about being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And he can teach us a thing or two about persevering under trials, about pressing on toward the mark, yes, and about not giving up.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Let us pray.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to be in your house today, to worship you and learn of you. You are a good, good God, worthy of all glory and honor and praise. Teach us today to walk by faith, not by sight. Teach us to fix our eyes on things that are eternal, not temporary. And most of all, teach us to fix our eyes on you, Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Use me as your vessel to minister to your people today. And I pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
When Bobby was left behind in Indiana, he could have just decided to stay there and try to find a new home. But Bobby wanted to get back to his home, back to the people he loved and who loved him. He knew that he had a home waiting for him, and he knew that home was there, even though he couldn't see it. He had the hope of making it home and the faith of knowing that it was out there waiting for him. Without that hope and faith, he would never have even attempted the journey. He wanted to go home, and he believed that he could get there no matter how long it took and no matter what obstacles there were along the way. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 1, the writer of Hebrews says this: "Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Faith and hope go hand in hand. Hope is wanting something to happen. Faith is believing that it will happen. If you're taking notes, that's a good one to take. Hope is wanting something to happen. Faith is believing that it will happen. Now, hope is fine. There's nothing wrong with hope. But hope without faith is incomplete. Hope without faith leads to doubt and uncertainty. We might say, I have a financial need. I hope that God will meet that need. But faith takes our hope to the next level so that we say, I hope God meets my need, and I know that he will, because the word of God says that my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus.
Amen.
When you add faith to your hope, you're turning that hope into a reality. You're being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see.
Amen.
There used to be a famous chef on TV, maybe he still is, I don't know, named Emeril Lagasse. Do y'all know who I'm talking about, Emeril? Okay. Anyway, Emeril was famous for adding a little extra spice to his dishes. He would take a pinch of spice and with a dramatic flick of his wrist, he would thrust the spice into the bowl and go, bam! Emeril believed that adding that little bit of spice kicked it up a notch and made all the difference between an average recipe and an exceptional one. It's the same way with hope and faith. An average believer can have hope. I hope God does this, and I hope God does that. But when that believer, bam, adds that spice of faith to that hope, that's the ingredient that brings unshakable confidence and assurance and boldness and belief and trust to every situation. Faith turns the average believer into an exceptional believer. Faith is the ingredient that takes us from hoping God will do something to knowing that God will do something. And Jesus said that even with the smallest amount of faith, even with faith as small as a mustard seed, we can move mountains and nothing shall be impossible for us. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 is a very short verse. It's only 7 words. In fact, can we all say this verse together? Let's say it together.
We live by faith, not by sight.
Brothers and sisters, none of us can see the future. We don't always know what's over the horizon. We don't know all the details of how God is going to get us from here to our eternal home. We're not aware of the difficulties and trials and tests that we might face on our journey. But with faith the size of a mustard seed, we can do more than just hope that God will take care of us. With faith, we can have absolute confidence and certainty and assurance that our God will supply all our needs, that he has given us the Holy Spirit to be our guide through life, that what we ask in faith will be done for us, and that he has prepared a home for us in heaven.
Glory. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
I mentioned a moment ago that Bobby got left behind in Indiana after he was attacked by some other dogs. He ran off and hid, and his family wasn't able to find him before they had to leave and go back to Oregon. When he finally came out of hiding, he was probably confused. He probably cried and whined and wondered, where's my family? Where did they go? Why did they leave me? Now, I think that Bobby instinctively understood that it wasn't his fault that they left. They didn't leave because they were mad at him. They didn't leave because he had done something wrong. They didn't leave because they didn't love him. But they did have to leave. They couldn't stay any longer. Yes, they left him, but he knew that he still had a home and a family in Oregon that wanted him. Even though they had gone home and he couldn't see them, he had faith that they would be there.
Yes.
On the night before Jesus was crucified, he sat down to have one last supper with his disciples, and he told them something that confused and saddened them. He told them that he was leaving. He had been with them for the past 3 years. They had followed him and grown very close to him, and they just assumed that he would always be with them. But now he was telling them that he had to go. The disciples were understandably confused and sad. They didn't want to be separated from their Lord. But in the Gospel of John, Jesus gives them and us some precious promises and words of comfort. In chapter 16, verse 7 of the Gospel of John, he says, "But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." In verse 13 of that same chapter, he says, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come." And in John 14, verses 1 and 2, he says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you." Jesus had to leave, but before he did, he wanted to reassure his disciples of two things. And he wants to give you and me that same reassurance. First, he reassured them that even though they wouldn't see him bodily anymore, he would send his Holy Spirit to be their guide all the days of their lives. And secondly, when their lives did come to an end, they would have a home waiting for them where they could be confident that their Heavenly Father would receive them with joy and gladness.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
It never once occurred to Bobby that after he got home, his family might reject him or turn him away. He had unshakable faith and confidence that they would welcome him with open arms and with love. And they did. When Bobby finally returned home and miraculously showed up on the front porch, we can only imagine the joy and the excitement the parents and the children must have felt. And the joy and excitement they felt, brothers and sisters, will be nothing compared to the rejoicing and excitement there will be when you enter through the gates of heaven and behold Jesus face to face and hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord."
Hallelujah. Amen.
As Bobby set out on his journey, I'm sure he had no idea how long it was going to take him to get back to his unseen home. I'm sure he had no idea how hard the journey was going to be. All he knew was that home was out there, and he was determined to make it home at all costs. To put it in scriptural terms, Bobby was living by faith, not by sight. He was fixing his eyes not on what he could see, but on what he couldn't see. And he was pressing on toward the goal to win the prize, regardless of what it cost him. In the book of 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul talks about this kind of hope and faith in chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. These are the words of Paul. "Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day.
Amen.
For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal."
Amen.
If Bobby were a man instead of a dog, We would say that he was a man of great faith. He was sure of what he hoped for and certain of what he did not see. He had faith that his home and his family were out there waiting for him. He may not have fully understood the reason why his family left him behind, but that didn't stop him from following them anyway. All he knew was that he loved his family and didn't want to be anywhere else or with anyone else except them. Even though Bobby could no longer see his master, he was going to follow him anyway. Let that sink in for a moment. Even though Bobby could no longer see his master, he was going to follow him anyway. He wasn't going to stay where he was. And once Bobby started on his incredible journey, he was going to fix his eyes on the goal. He wasn't going to deviate from the path he knew he had to take. He wasn't going to settle down somewhere short of his final destination. He wasn't going to give up. Newspaper accounts and records of the time show that there were people who encountered Bobby on his journey, who fed him and sheltered him and tended to his wounds. But Bobby never stayed in one place for very long. His eyes were fixed on his permanent home. When I first read the story about Bobby the Wonder Dog, the questions that came into my mind were, how in the world did he know which direction to go? How did he know which path to take? How did he know where home was? Now, it's common knowledge that dogs do have an extremely acute sense of smell. Here's an interesting piece of trivia that will make you popular at cocktail parties. Humans and animals both have olfactory tissue in our noses that give us our sense of smell. If you were to remove all of the olfactory tissue from a human's nose and lay it flat on a table, it would be about the size of a postage stamp. But if you were to remove all of the olfactory tissue from a dog's nose and do the same thing, it would be about the size of a handkerchief.
Goodness.
Based on that comparison, a dog's sense of smell is about 270 times more sensitive than a human's sense of smell. But even though Bobby must have had an extremely acute sense of smell, I don't think it begins to explain how he was able to find his way home across 2,500 miles of rugged mountainous terrain in the dead of winter. I think it's likely that he even took a different route back to Oregon than his family did. So sense of smell alone doesn't explain how Bobby found his way home. He must have had other abilities and instincts and senses that we don't fully understand to guide him home. He must have been driven by something beyond his five senses. He was guided by something that science can't explain. He probably didn't understand it himself. Call it instinct, call it whatever you want, but Bobby had a still small voice inside of him that said, "This is the way, walk ye in it." And that still small voice inside of him let him know which direction to go. And Bobby didn't argue with the voice, he didn't debate with it, he didn't try to analyze it or overthink it or ignore it. He just listened to the voice and went where it told him to go. As believers with faith in Jesus Christ, we can learn a lesson from Bobby.
Amen.
In Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21, God told his people this: "Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it.'"
Amen.
Like Bobby, God gives his children, you and me, gifts and abilities to help us navigate through life on our way to our final home in heaven. He gives us the gift of his written word, the Bible, to be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. He provides us with sound teaching and godly counsel through others in the body of Christ. He gives us a conscience, that still small voice that warns us when we're tempted to get off the path that we're supposed to be on. It's the still small voice that says, don't do that. Don't go down that path. You'll regret it later. God gives us intuition, that still small voice that helps us to avoid dangerous or harmful situations. Have you ever been in a situation where something just didn't feel quite right? You couldn't explain it. You couldn't prove it. You couldn't put your finger on it. But there was a little voice in your head telling you that you need to be careful. Danger is nearby and you'll get hurt if you don't pay attention. That's your God-given intuition. There's no scientific explanation for it. We just have it and it keeps us out of danger. And if we ignore our God-given intuition or try to rationalize it away, we do so at our own peril. And a word to the wise for you husbands. It has been my observation that for whatever reason, God has given women more sensitive intuition than men. You've probably heard the phrase, a woman's intuition. Let me tell you, it's very real. Scripture says that a prudent man sees danger and takes refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it. Women will often pick up on things and sense potentially harmful situations long before we guys do. So we do well to listen to our wives and respect them when they try to tell us something, even when it's just a feeling. Because their intuition can oftentimes help us avoid a lot of problems in the long run.
Amen.
Now, children will challenge our intuition every chance they get. When we tell our teenage daughters that they can't go to that party, they can't go to that sleepover, they can't go on a date with that 25-year-old guy that just got out of prison. They immediately want to know, why? Give me one good reason why I can't do that. And we may not have a reason that we can put our finger on. It's just our intuition. We just have a feeling that they could be putting themselves in a bad situation. But a mature child will trust her parent's intuition, even when that parent can't give her concrete reasons for feeling the way they do.
Amen.
In addition to our conscience and our intuition, God gives us other resources to help us on our journey through life as we head home. Scripture calls these resources the manifestations of the Spirit. Words of wisdom, words of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, the working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, different kinds of tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. Paul says that these manifestations are given for the profit of all. The Holy Spirit manifests himself in our lives to keep us on the right path as we journey homeward. There's no scientific explanation for how Bobby could have traveled 2,551 miles and returned home 6 months later with pinpoint accuracy. In the same way, there's no scientific explanation for how the Holy Spirit leads us, guides us, and protects us. He just does.
Amen.
Unbelievers will say, how do you know that there is a God? Prove it. How do you know that there's life after death? Prove it. How do you know that there's a heaven? Prove it. How do you know that Jesus really arose from the dead? Prove it. And for the most part, we can't prove these things. Or at least I can't. I just know that I know that I know.
Amen.
That's right.
As Brother Jerry sometimes says, I just know it in my knower. The gifts and manifestations of the Spirit are unexplainable, and they are foolishness to the unbeliever. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 says this, the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Brothers and sisters, the message of the cross may be foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God that shows us the way home and gives us the strength to get there.
Amen.
Our canine hero, Bobby, had to cross rivers, climb mountains, and endure wild animals and frigid winter weather to get home. Jesus told us that in this life we will have tribulation, but he also told us that we can be of good cheer because he has overcome the world and he has gone ahead of us to prepare a place for us. There is no circumstance, no situation, no difficulty, no problem that is too big for God. All he asks is that we walk in faith, trust in him, and persevere until we reach the end of our journey. After Bobby returned home, and once people realized what he had endured over the previous 6 months, he became an instant celebrity. He was the subject of newspaper articles. He was featured in Ripley's Believe It or Not. Books were written about him. Bobby starred as himself in a 1924 silent movie called The Call of the West. He received hundreds of letters from people around the world, and someone even presented him with a jewel-studded harness and dog collar. Well, brothers and sisters, when we see Jesus face to face, he's not going to present us with a jewel-studded harness and dog collar, or at least I hope he doesn't. But he will present us with a jewel-studded crown of life.
Amen.
In the book of James, chapter 1, verse 12, he gives us this precious promise. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. And as a bonus, we will also receive not one, but two other crowns as well. A crown of righteousness for those who love his appearing, and a crown of glory that will never fade away. Brothers and sisters, I don't know how we're going to fit all these crowns on our head at the same time. Maybe we'll wear different crowns on different days of the week. I don't know. But seriously, let us never forget that Jesus wore a crown of thorns so that we can wear crowns of life, righteousness, and glory.
Amen.
Over a period of 6 months, Bobby traveled over 2,500 miles to get from Indiana to his home in Oregon. There were a few good Samaritans along the way who fed him, sheltered him, and tended to his wounds. But for the most part, he was completely alone and had nothing going for him except that still small voice inside, encouraging him to keep pressing on toward the goal, and urging him to keep going and not to give up until he got home. The Holy Spirit, that still small voice inside of every believer, gives us that same encouragement. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, the Apostle Paul wrote this: "Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus."
Amen.
Jesus is no longer here bodily. We cannot see him, but he has given us his Holy Spirit to guide us through life until we see him face to face in heaven. In Greek, the Holy Spirit is called the Paraclete, which literally means one who comes alongside to comfort us, help us, and intercede for us. We're never alone. whatever journey you're on, whatever trials and difficulties and obstacles you're facing today, keep your eyes turned heavenward like Paul. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, and lean on the Holy Spirit who comes alongside you to comfort you and help you.
Yes, amen.
Cast all your cares on Him. Let Him carry your burdens, for He cares for you. If you would, please stand with me. Sister Karen is going to come and lead us in a song. If y'all would, please bow your heads. Brothers and sisters, what Bobby the Wonder Dog accomplished was nothing short of miraculous. A house dog walking for 6 months across plains, deserts, and mountains in the dead of winter, at times sick, weak, hungry, and hurt, encountering innumerable obstacles. But the one thing that kept him going was the knowledge that somewhere out there was his permanent home and a loving family that was waiting for him. If you already know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then in spite of all the troubles and difficulties you face in this life, you can have hope and assurance that there is an eternal home waiting for you and a loving Father waiting to take you in His arms. Yes. But maybe your path has been a little difficult, a little rough lately, and you're not sure which direction to go. You're having a hard time keeping your eyes fixed on Jesus. Your faith has gotten a little shaky, and sometimes you just feel like giving up. If that's you, then I invite you to come down to the front, and let's pray together for the Holy Spirit to give you the faith and the help and the strength and the direction that you need to press on toward the goal and continue the journey home. If that's you, please come down. Or maybe you're here and you've never known Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but you would like to. You'd like to have that assurance of an eternal home and a loving Father waiting for you in heaven. Your struggles in this life have been too much for you to bear alone, and you need and want God's help and guidance to get you through life. If that's you, then I invite you to come forward and let me pray with you also. So whether you're already a child of God and just need a fresh touch of faith and strength, or whether you want to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior and the power of His Holy Spirit in your life, then please come down and let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for a body of believers that's doing so well this morning. Thank you for giving us the faith and that still small voice inside of us showing us the way home. Thank you for the determination and the perseverance that you've given us to help us complete our journey. Thank you for your great love and for your Holy Spirit who helps us in all our troubles. Thank you for the promise of eternal life with you in heaven. We see through a glass darkly now, but one day we shall behold you face to face and receive the crowns of life, righteousness, and glory that you've promised to all who love you. Bless us and watch us as we go forth from this place. May we come back here together again with praise reports and testimonies on our lips of all your wonderful works. And we pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
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 God bless all of you. You're dismissed.